Studios, yesterday's high 75 degrees, overnight low 52 degrees. And well, we've been dry since the over 3 inches of rain that started on Sunday night. Barometric pressure is up this hour to 29.98, relative humidity dropping down to 58%. Right now, a 7-mile-an-hour south wind, a partly cloudy sky, and we're seeing 63 degrees. Weather is service of Plum Creek Ranch, quality beef raised right here in Lyon County. You can't get more local than that. To learn more about Plum Creek Ranch, visit them online, plumcreekbeef.com. KBOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local. A very pleasant Tuesday morning. I'm Scott Hayes. It's 10:07.
KBOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents Candidate Forums 2021. Brought to you in part by ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6th in Emporia. Justice Painting, no job too tall or too small. Call Justice Painting 757-2343. And Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, 115 West 5th Avenue in Emporia. And now, Candidate Forums 2021 on KBOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local.
Good morning and welcome to KVUE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVUE.com. I'm your candidate forum host today, Chuck Samples, as we get started here on the first of our two USD 253 Emporia Board of Education candidate forums here, not only really for the election cycle, but the two that are taking place here this week. Pleased to be joined here on the KVUE Sutherland studio line here today by incumbent Mike Crouch, also challengers Lillian Lingenfelter and Paul Meinke here today. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chuck. How are you this morning?
So far, so good. Lillian, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
So far, so good. Thanks for joining us. And Paul Meinke, good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having us today.
Great. Well, thank you for joining us here and giving us your thoughts on the issues revolving around the Emporia School District. We are going to follow the same format that we did for the City Commission candidate forums here over the last couple of weeks, which means we will have an opening statement here shortly. We'll have a closing statement at the end. We will have your questions coming into the program as well, and we'll open up the phone banks, not yet, but soon. So you can call us here at 620-342-5863 with your questions. Also, with the questions that we do have, we will do our best to rotate. As we mentioned here during the City Commission candidate forums, when we've had these in person, we've either been able to flip a coin or draw numbers for who would get to answer the questions first, and then we'd rotate around the room from there. Since we're doing these by phone, again, not only today, but also the one on Thursday, we're going to start the process alphabetical by last name. So which means, in this case, Mike will be able to give us the opening statement first, Lillian will go second, and then Paul will go third. And then when we get into our next question, Lillian will answer first, Paul second, Mike third, and then we'll just continue the process from there. So with that in mind, and before we get started here today, again, we want to thank our sponsors here for the KVUE Candidate Forum Series here this fall. That list includes ESB Financial, Ray Roofing, Justice Painting, and Geotech, making sure that we have these programs available for you. And once they are done, probably late this afternoon or tomorrow, today's program will go to the KVUE.com audio vault so you can compare and contrast the answers that are coming up. With that in mind, we are set to start here our first of two city, school board candidate forums. Mike Crouch, the incumbent, we will get you started first. Your opening statement here to get us started today.
Sure. Well, thank you, Chuck. And first off, thank you to you and to KVOE for hosting this forum today. I think it's great that you provide us an opportunity to share our thoughts with the community, as local elections are really important to what happens here within our community. So a little bit about myself. I have been on the Board of Education for 16 years, and I have been truly blessed and honored to serve our community. And I believe that education is one of the most critical components of a successful community. And having not only a K-12 system, but a higher education system that is strong and vibrant in your community really can set you apart. And we're blessed in Emporia to have that. So I am proud of the work that has taken place in USD 253 over the last 16 years that I've been on the board, and I look forward to continuing to serve our district in the future. You know, it's going to be important that we continue to face challenges head on, you know, we're going to need the best and brightest that we can in our district in order to make that happen. So, you know, working to make sure that we can recruit and retain the very best talent that we can to either stay in Emporia or come to Emporia to provide for our students is going to be critical. And then, you know, just really making sure that we focus on what do our students need, because really that's the business that we are in. We are in the business of doing what's best for students. And so I've always tried to keep that as kind of the core of decision-making, and I think that's going to be important going forward.
Thank you, Mike. Lillian, your turn, your opening statement today.
Thank you, Chuck. I'm running for school board to serve as an advocate for students and educators. Public education is the greatest investment we can make in our children's future. And I've chosen to dedicate my life to the service of public education and serving students and their families. I believe that every child deserves the best education, and I want to do what I can to give back to our community and support educators and their students. I believe it's important for educators like myself to have a seat at the table and be involved in the decision-making processes that are needed to create and sustain an effective school system that prepares students for success. My priorities would be addressing graduation rates, recruiting and retaining high-quality teachers, and ensuring student success in the classroom and beyond, and that would involve addressing issues like kindergarten readiness and chronic absenteeism, keeping students and educators front of mind in every decision that I would make.
All right, Lillian, thank you. And Paul, your opening statement.
Sure. My name is Paul Meinke, and it's a pleasure to be here and have this opportunity to speak to our community. I've decided to run at the prodding of a few friends and colleagues, and I feel like 2 years ago when we moved to Emporia, we wanted to be engaged in our community as best we can. And so I feel like we've seen some things over the last 2 years that have been trying. We've seen some really good things, and I want to be active in our community and being able to help with that. I think we can do that in a few different ways. I think our district can be a source of great academic excellence, and it's important that we do that together, that we find the opportunities to give our teachers the resources that they need, that we find a way to provide a high-level education opportunities for our students that go above and beyond the classroom, that go above and beyond what they've possibly seen in the past. And then we want to enable our administrators to dream a little bit, to provide great learning environments for our students. I think that we need to have a culture of unity set up inside of our school that actually seeps out into our community, that we find the ability to live together, that work together, to be quick to listen and to be slow to speak, and be able to tackle things head on together, to sit at the table. And even though we disagree, we can still have a talk, a good conversation, and manage things. And then I think we need to have some community pride, and schools are at the forefront of that. I think that if you head out on a Friday night over to Welch Stadium, you're going to see community pride, and you're going to see a lot of people that have nothing to do with high school athletics at that point. They're going to be a part. They should. Our community shows out for all the musicals, the band performances, and things like that. And so schools are at the center point of our community's pride, and we need to celebrate the great things that happen, and we need to take on those issues and challenges that head on and fix those issues when we find it. So that's it.
All right. Well, Paul, thank you. Appreciate that answer. Let's go to our second question here. And this, to a degree, our candidates have answered in their opening statement, but we'll flesh this out a little bit. Lillian, let's get us started with your work and family background and what makes you qualified to run.
So I have lived in Kansas my entire life, and my fiance and I have chosen to make Emporia our home for going on 8 years or so now. I have a bachelor's degree in secondary education from Emporia State University, and a master's degree in education policy and leadership from the American University. I've been working with students of all ages since 2015 and teaching middle and high school students for the past 4 years. I was also a 2019 Horizon Award winner, which is a recognition from the Kansas Department of Education for exemplary new teachers. My opportunity to work in education has allowed me to serve on multiple school leadership committees, including serving as a school redesign team pilot in another school district. I'm also a member of the Rural School Leadership Academy program through Teach for America. I've worked for and volunteered with Communities and Schools of Mid-America and Big Brothers Big Sisters there in Lyon County. I believe that I have a few qualities that set me apart from other candidates. I'm the only candidate with a professional background in K-12 education. And as someone who was in the classroom before and during the pandemic, I uniquely understand the needs of students and teachers during this school year and going into the future and how those needs have changed over the past year. My background in education policy has allowed me to develop a vision for the district and understand the varying implications of district and building level decisions. Ultimately, as I continue to make my home in Emporia, I'm motivated to serve students and teachers and give back to our community.
Okay. Paul, what's your work and family background, and what makes you qualified to run?
Sure. As I said earlier, we moved here 2 years ago to Emporia. I'm the lead pastor at Emporia First Church of the Nazarene. And our family of four, I have two, my wife, Angie, and I have two students, one in the middle school, one in the high school. And we have enjoyed our time here together, getting to know this community. We came here to make a difference in our community. My background, I grew up in Bonner Springs, Kansas, which is a similar size, or at least at that point it was, to Emporia. Same values, same work ethic and things like that. I attended Mid-America Nazarene University in Olathe, Kansas. I have a master's degree in education as well as an undergrad in education. And right out of college, I was a teacher in the Gardner-Edgerton School District and in the DeSoto School District at Mill Valley High School, two really good school districts, before going into full-time ministry there in Olathe. We then moved to Andover, Kansas, which is another great school district. We had the opportunity to be involved in schools throughout my career, even in ministry, and we continue to do that here as we serve in Emporia.
Okay, thank you. Mike, you mentioned about some of your qualifications, certainly being an incumbent now for an extended period of time. What is your work family background, and did you have anything else to add to your qualifications that you wanted folks to know about?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, I've been on the board for 16 years and have been blessed to serve. And throughout that time, one of the things that you discover when you are a member of the Board of Education is you have the opportunity to serve on a number of other boards and committees, both locally and statewide as well. And so I served for 6 years on the Kansas State High School Activities Association, both Board of Directors and Executive Board, and have had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with educational leaders from throughout the state, and have really grown a wealth of understanding and knowledge of the things that our folks are tackling from around the state, whether it be small districts or large districts. And so, you know, a little bit about myself. I am the Vice President of Advancement at Flint Hills Technical College. I've been at the college for 12 years. Prior to joining the FHTC family, I was part of the ESU Foundation. So I've had the opportunity to work at both higher ed institutions here in town. And, you know, I really believe that education is a core component of what we do, especially here in Emporia. And our K-12 system and our higher eds are really an extension of each other. My wife and I have four children, two that are grown, that have graduated from Emporia High School, and another one that is currently at Emporia High School and one that's at Emporia Middle School. So education is very important to us. We've been involved in, over the last, you know, almost 20 years, everything from PTOs to booster clubs to other groups throughout the district, and just really believe that experience matters. I think we have a lot of issues that will be coming before us over the next 4 years, and having some experience and some understanding on how to navigate that will be beneficial.
It's 10:20 here on KVUE and KVUE.com. This is the KVUE Candidate Forum, our first of two revolving around the USD 253 Emporia Board of Education. Mike Crouch, Lillian Lingenfelter, and Paul Mikey are our guests here this morning. We're going to take our first break. We'll get into the issues at play here, including the one that's basically dominated everything over the last 18 months. And when we return, we'll start getting into those particular questions and issues. And your questions for the program are also welcome here as well, 620-342-5863. Our candidate forum here today is brought to you by ESB Financial, by Ray Roofing Incorporated, by Justice Painting, and by Geotech.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that if you are listening to this announcement, then I have missed my intended audience? That's because you will most likely vote in the upcoming general election. This year, the stakes have never been higher. So please encourage your friends and family to exercise their right to vote in this November's election. And see Geotech at 115 West 5th for all your land surveying needs.
Looking to get painting done but don't know who to call? Well, just call the folks at Justice Painting. They are your one-stop shop for all your painting needs. Offering professional painting services of interiors, exteriors, kitchen cabinets, drywall, and commercial work. With no job too tall or too small, just call Jerem for a free quote. That's Justice Painting, 620-757-2343.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6 in Emporia.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's Candidate Forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
KVOE News time is 10:24, and it is continuing our candidate forum. We've already had two revolving around the Emporia City Commission race. This is the first of two involving the USD 253 Emporia Board of Education race. Paul Mikey, Lillian Lingenfelter, and Mike Crouch joining us here on the KVUE Sutherland studio line here today. And your questions are welcome either by calling us directly, 620-342-5863, or by messaging the Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, which is the same number, 620-342-5863. Obviously, the overarching issue here with this particular election and really for school boards across the country is COVID-19 response. Been that way really for the last 18 to 19 months. Paul, I'd like you to get us started here on this topic. If you could, briefly discuss your ideal COVID-19 mitigation plan and policy, and would you be running if COVID-19 was not part of the picture here for the district?
Well, I think that last question, first of all, is that's a hard question to ask. I think that over the last 2 years, 18 months now, everybody across the country is realizing the importance of this this office, this in the school board. And honestly, before COVID, very few of us knew who was on the school board. In any district, much less in our home district. And I think that that's a great question. I'm not sure. I don't know, because I feel like, and that kind of leads into the first question, that my ideal COVID-19 mitigation plan is that we live with it, that we've learned to live with it, to manage. I think we've found that because of COVID-19, we are not in control. We have to be able to react and pivot and very quickly.
And so I think the ideal mitigation strategy is to be willing to be open to what is in front of us. When numbers spike, we have to be careful. When they're low, we still have to be careful. So I think that our schools overall have done a great job. They've been the safest place in our community for the last, since the very beginning of COVID. And so I think our mitigation strategies are pretty good. I don't necessarily agree, and I know that that's probably a question that's coming up. I don't necessarily agree with everything that's been done, but I know that currently our kids are in school full-time, face-to-face, and I think that every parent in this school district and across our county can agree that that is the ideal situation for us. So my mitigation plan, I think that, I mean, what we do here at a church as a leader of an organization, we have to be continually rolling with those the current status of our of COVID, and so we do the same thing here on a much smaller level, but it's still affects lives in the way that we manage things. So,
okay, well, thank you, Mike. What is your thought here? And you've been part of this obviously discussion point through the outset of COVID-19. Briefly discuss your ideal mitigation plan and philosophy, and would you be running if COVID was out of the picture?
Sure. Well, I think to answer your second question first, I can say that I certainly would be running, and I think the fact that I have served for the last 16 years shows that I was engaged and dedicated to USD 253 long before COVID was in the picture, and I'm certainly dedicated to USD 253 moving forward. So, but I think that, you know, the number one thing that we have to consider, of course, is safety, and we want our schools to be a safe place for both our students and our staff. However, we also have an obligation, and we have an obligation to make sure that we are providing the highest level education that we can for our students. That is our mission and our goal. And I said this, you know, many times over the last year and a half, that a third grader only has one opportunity to be a third grader, and they don't get that opportunity back. And so we can't afford to throw that year away for them. They need that time. And so I will say that having lived this for the last year and a half, it seems like it's a constant moving picture. We have spent, I will say that, you know, not only myself, but the rest of the Board of Education and the administration and our teachers and everybody involved have spent countless hours studying the issue, deliberating, hearing from thousands of patrons on their thoughts and views on both sides of the issue, and trying to discern what is best for our students and what is best moving forward. And so I think for me at this point of where we're at in the pandemic and where we're at in this, I think Paul mentioned this, it's time for us to start learning to live with it. It's probably not going away. And so we have to start focusing on what's best for kids and making sure we're providing educationally and socially what they need. And I think we have to get back to listening to our parents. We have to – education is only going to be effective if we are a partnership. And that means the schools and the parents and the students have to all be in this together. And we have to respect each other's thoughts and ideas and listen to them and listen to parents when they have ideas of what's best for their children. And so I think that we have to get back to that point as we move forward.
Lillian, what are your thoughts here about your ideal COVID-19 mitigation plan and philosophy? And if COVID was out of the picture, would you be running for office here?
So like I said earlier, as someone that's been working in schools during this time, I feel like I have a pretty unique understanding of the challenges that we've been through and the uncertainty that we have faced this school year and that we continue to face. Like the other candidates, I also want to do what is best for students and staff alike. I think that the district should continue to make informed decisions that are best for students, teachers, and the community. we don't always know what's coming next. And as new data continues to develop, schools should utilize mitigation strategies based on what we know at that time, following local guidelines to the best of our abilities as board members, understanding that our needs in Emporia might be different than what other school districts need. And what matters most to me is keeping our students in school safe and healthy. And with mitigation strategies, as we've seen so far this school year, we can keep more students in school. And that's what's important for me, is prioritizing student learning and keeping the health and safety of staff and students front of mind. With regard to your second question, for me, the answer is a resounding yes. My passion for public education began well before the pandemic and will extend well after the pandemic is over. I want to serve as an advocate for students and affect positive change in our schools and community regardless of COVID.
Okay. We're going to put our questions on pause right now. It's 10:31 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and KVOE.com as our USD 253 candidate forum continues. We are going to go to the phones right now for a question, and we will also have a quartet of text questions that have been sent to us as well here before we get back into our list. Good morning. You're on the KVOE candidate forum here today.
Good morning. I've been doing some homework and reading everything I can read and listening to everything I can read about the candidates. One of the common priorities that you all have is recruiting and retaining quality teachers and staff. In the Gazette, Mike, I'd like to address this specifically to you. You stated, and I quote, every staff member has an opportunity to impact the life of our students, and it's critical that we have the best working for us. My question, Mike, is how do you explain your defense of former EHS football coach Corby Millicent's abusive behavior to student players, and why did you recuse yourself from the vote?
Well, Mike, what background do you want to have on that, and what is your answer to them?
Well, first, I can say that as a current sitting board member, I cannot discuss personnel issues either with current or former employees. That I am bound by that confidentiality not to do that. So in terms of the specifics of that particular instance, I cannot go into details. I think that we have to hold all of our employees to a high standard. They should be held to the standard to do what's best for our students, and if that's not happening, then we need to make sure that we take action to ensure that.
Why did you recuse yourself from the vote?
I had a personal relationship with Mr. Millicent, as his family and my family were friends, and so I had a conflict of interest that in order for the integrity of the process and the integrity of the position as a school board member, that I needed to remove myself from that situation.
Okay.
And once the vote was in, and he was fired from the football coach position, why was he allowed to continue at full pay as a teacher until the end of the year?
Again, I apologize, ma'am, but those are confidential personnel issues that I am legally not allowed to discuss.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your call. Let's go to the phones. Actually, let's go to the text right now. We have a question here for Ms. Lingenfelter, and it reads as follows. As we continue to have a revolving door of staff and teachers leaving the district, is there an answer to the cost of the ridiculous price of insurance here for the district?
Yes. So kind of what my thoughts were on recruiting and retaining teachers is that it's important that we create an environment where teachers feel supported, both professionally and with their compensation and benefits. I think that the increase in health insurance premiums is a detriment to recruiting and retaining educators and the support staff that we need to help students reach their own versions of success. In fact, in many districts across the state, there are single insurance plans offered at no monthly cost to their teachers. For example, districts like Peabody, Burns, DeSoto, Blue Valley, and Spring Hill. And as an advocate for educators, the crucial support staff we need to keep schools running effectively, I would advocate for a review of the budget to adjust both things like the base salary and an find a way in the budget to provide additional benefits to staff like insurance.
Okay, well, let's take our second break here on the KVOE Canada Forum. We still have a couple extra questions that have come in through the KVOE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. And again, your questions are still welcome if you want to call those in as well. 620-342-5863. Lillian Lingenfelter, Paul Mikey, Mike Croucher, guests on the KVOE Sutherland studio line here today. Canada Forum on KVOE and KVOE.com is brought to you by Ray Roofing, by Justice Painting, by Geotech, and by ESB Financial.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6 in Emporia.
Looking to get painting done but don't know who to call? Well, just call the folks at Justice Painting. They are your one-stop shop for all your painting needs. Offering professional painting services of interiors, exteriors, kitchen cabinets, drywall, and commercial work. With no job too tall or too small, just call Jerem for a free quote. That's Justice Painting, 620-757-2343.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that the old saying, all politics is local, means that the foundation of our representative democracy begins with our local elected officials? Don't miss this opportunity to have your vote count more than in many other elections. I urge you to get out and vote for the candidates of your choice. And see us at Geotech for all your land surveying needs.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's candidate forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
KVOE News Time, 10:38, as we continue our candidate forum here with USD 253 Emporia Board of Education candidates Mike Crouch, Lillian Lingenfelter, and Paul Mikey. Before we get it back into the questions, I wanted to give Paul and Mike a chance to follow up here on the insurance question that Lillian received here right before the break. The question was provided straight to Ms. Lingenfelter, but it involved an answer to the cost of ridiculous insurance prices. This was the way it was addressed here by our texter to the KVOE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, specifically when it comes to the number of staff and teachers leaving the district. And Paul, I'll start with you. Do you see an answer to the cost of insurance costs or the price of insurance costs here for district staffers?
Well, I do believe that, if you sat in on the board meeting last time they met, and Rob went through all the numbers and all the painstaking time it takes to go through this process, and it's a yearly deal, that you'll find that insurance rates, they go up every single year. And businesses, organizations, our school district has to find a way to accommodate that in order to retain teachers, because it's a massive asset to our school district. If we can provide great health insurance plans at a reduced rate, at a reasonable rate for our teachers to be willing to stick around. We have great, great teachers, and we need to be able to provide that opportunity for them. The answer is ongoing. I feel like they chose the best plan available for the next 12 months, and fortunately we have the opportunity to start working for the next year in order to find what is best for our teachers in their insurance plans.
Mike, what's your thoughts here on the insurance cost situation here for the district, specifically for staffers?
Yeah, so I think this is a critical issue that I know, again, firsthand, the board is very, very concerned about the cost of our insurance for our staff, not just our teachers, but all of our staff, as many of them rely on that plan to take care of their families. And we have to find a way to do more to help our employees with that. And as Paul said, I mean, insurance costs are not going to go down. I think we all understand that that the insurance company is not going to call us up and say, hey, we'd like to give you a 15% price break next year. That's just not going to happen. So with that being said, we have to dive in and look at other carriers, other plans, other options. Are there self-funded options? Are there some local community partnerships that can be put in place to maybe share resources? Whatever we can do. And then I think, you know, we have to look as a district and look within our budget and see, can we put more money towards the cost of health insurance to take some of that burden off of our employees? I think everything is on the table, and the current board is working hard to evaluate that and work with the administration to evaluate that and see what we can do to improve the situation for our staff.
Michael, I'm going to go to another question here, which comes in. Part of this has to do with insurance, but everybody's pretty much addressed that. The question, though, that hasn't been addressed, which, you know, we're going to broach to you now, is asking about the disparity of pay top to bottom district-wide, and specifically asks, are you open to new answers on the current problems in play?
Well, first, yes, I am absolutely open, and I think that we have to continue some dialogue and look at what can we do to improve our wages for our staff. And we are seeing this throughout our community. You know, private industry has lots and lots of jobs available, and they're raising their wages at an unbelievable rate. And so the competition for employees is going to become more and more difficult and more challenging. And we have to do what's best for our employees, and that's that we need to provide them the best that we can and value the work that they do for us. And so I think that we need to bring people to the table. I think bringing people into the discussion that will help us discuss how we address this issue. You know, let's bring some of our teaching staff and some of our classified staff, as well as some administrators and even some community folks to the table, and let's talk about some goals and let's set some timelines out over the next several years and discuss how can we address the issue. It's probably not an issue that can be addressed in 1 year, but without a plan to address it over the next several years, we will never address it.
Lillian, I'll give you a chance to answer that as well. Your thoughts about the disparity of pay top to bottom district-wide and how that can be resolved.
Sure. So I think that fairly compensating teachers at a competitive rate is important to keeping highly trained, qualified, excellent teachers employed in the district. Compared to districts of a similar size like Topeka, Spring Hill, Bonner Springs, Salina, or DeSoto, they all have a base salary starting more than what Emporia does. Even neighboring districts that are smaller, like South Lyon County, has a base salary of more than our district. So I believe that if we could work toward a more balanced budget that would allow for the base salary to increase and be more competitive with surrounding districts, that would give us an opportunity to recruit and retain more teachers. And I think in addition to that, it is something that we could accomplish within the next year or so, working in partnership with teachers and administration. I don't think that an adjustment in base salary is something that has to be pushed off, but rather it's something that could be addressed in the next year or two.
Paul, what are your thoughts here on the disparity of pay top to bottom district-wide and how that can be resolved?
Yeah, I mean, obviously needs to be of the utmost priority in order to, because it directly affects our students, and that's the idea. It obviously directly affects the bank accounts of our teachers as well, and they're supporting families. They've chosen to be in this community and support our kids. We do, like Lillian said, we lack just competitive
competitive options for other school districts that are nearby and that are in similar communities where it's inviting for teachers to go there because they're great communities to raise their families in, just like this one is. So finding ways in the budget, in strategic planning over the next 3 to 5 years to start to be creative in the way we do it. Maybe it's not in the base salary, but it is in the insurance packages that we offer and the school district chipping in or whatever that looks like. I think that we need to be creative in the way that we do things in order to move the money around and put it in the place that it's the, of the best, highest priority.
Paul, there's a question that comes to you directly here. It asks you to expand on your Gazette comment about complaints that you've had with the district or you currently have with the district.
Yeah, well, my complaint was it's centered around COVID and the way that we all it was all dealt with in the way that we returned to school last year and the snail's pace that we returned our kids to face-to-face time. I mean, I've emailed the board. I've visited with board members, Mike included, and he knows that I didn't agree with the way that we sent our kids back to school last year. And you know, listen, that was what's best for my family. That's why I was so adamant about it. I don't have complaints about the overall school district. I think that the driving force was I'm not the kind of person that wants to complain and sit back and watch everybody take care of me. I want to be a part of the solution. And that was my goal in what I said in my Gazette comment.
Understood. It's 10:47 here on KVOE. We've got a couple more questions here, both of them coming off of the KVOE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. This one goes to everybody, and Mike, I will let you get started here. Do you believe officially it's listed as a restriction on terms spent on the school board, which translates obviously into term limits?
Can you say that again?
Sure. The question is officially, should there be a restriction on terms spent on the school board, which, put another way, should there be term limits?
Okay, gotcha. So I will start by saying I don't know that we need necessarily term limits on the board, and here's why I say that. I've been on the board for 16 years. That's no secret. And there's been many elections where we barely have enough people on the ballot to fill out the open seats that are available. You know, this year is a bit of an anomaly. And so I think that especially as we look at our local community, when we have people that are passionate about what we do within USD 253 and within the Emporia community, and they want to give and they want to serve and they want to do the best that they can for the students and staff of Emporia Public Schools, I think we need to invite them to the table. And so, you know, I think that we may get into a situation where we wouldn't have those quality people coming to the table ready to serve.
Lillian, what are your thoughts here? Should there be term limits here for the school board?
So I think that experience is important. I don't know that I necessarily think that there should be term limits, but I do think that there should be opportunities for people with new ideas and new perspectives. But on the other hand, experience is important. I think that when it comes to looking at like length of term and how long people are serving, I would be willing to get into more specific conversation on like specifically how many terms would the limit be. But based on that question, I don't know right away that there should be. I think that we always want to have room for new perspectives while still valuing experience that board members bring.
And Paul, what are your thoughts here on term limits? Is this something that you would support or not?
You know, I think that continuity in a group like that, in a set of seven people that have to sit in a room and make decisions for a huge amount of people is important. And so if the same people can work together and they show that, then I think there's no need to deter the same people being in place. And so that moves to the individual on whether they can get along, that they can
have a seat at the table and have a good conversation and not necessarily get their way all the time. And so we have to be able to have some continuity. If that changes every 2 years, it's hard to gauge where everybody's at. So I think in that regard, we don't need term limits. I think that school is going to happen every single year, and we're going to have ongoing things that, that present themselves. And so it's important that we have that continuity. I also think that it's important that we have multiple voices. And like Mike said, if people aren't willing to step into that role, that's one obstacle that has been that's happened in the past. This year is different, and I think that over the last 18 months, we've seen it's motivated all six of the candidates to step in and be willing to serve. So.
Okay. We're going to ask one more question before we take our final break here on the candidate forum. And this also comes from the KVUE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. And Paul, you get to – actually, it's Lillian gets to start us off on this one. Does the fact that American education in math, science, and reading falls behind other developed nations bother you? And what can be done to improve educational effectiveness?
I feel like there's a lot to unpack in that question.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that it is concerning to me as an educator to look at things like graduation rates and test scores and that data. I don't know that I can necessarily speak for what everybody should do to improve education everywhere. I can only speak for what I think that Emporia should do. And I would say that kindergarten readiness is a priority for me, focusing on the work that we've been doing in the district with early childhood education, addressing chronic absenteeism. So students that are missing 10% or more of school for excused or unexcused absences, students that are chronically absent are just statistically likely to do worse in school. And that's concerning to me. I think that focusing on things like self-regulation, addressing mental health and trauma, addressing things like personalized learning, focusing on what the Kansas Redesign Project can do, those are all ways that we could address things like test scores and graduation rates in Emporia.
How about you, Paul? Are those numbers in those different categories a concern for you, and how can we improve educational effectiveness?
Yeah, I think that we need to be at the center point of meeting students' needs. Graduation rates are highly important because you can go very, very far in life with a high school education, with a high school diploma. Not every kiddo is cut out to go to college, doesn't want to go to college. It's not in their goals or their skills or anything like that. So I don't know that that's the goal, but we want to prepare our students for their next step in life, and give them the opportunities that they deserve. We fall short in a lot of ways. Part of that is due to what the topic of conversation already, with the shortage of teachers, with the revolving door of teachers. The COVID, we've dropped off immensely in that. And so I don't know that we have to compete necessarily with all those across the country or abroad, but we do need to be preparing our students to be competitive in the work field so they can get jobs that they want to do, that will support their families, and that will do their education, will work for them, and hopefully set them up for their future in the long run.
Mike, what are your thoughts here on American education in math, science, and reading falling behind other developed nations, and what can be done locally to improve that education process?
Well, I think certainly it's concerning, and I think that, again, I go back to what I said earlier. Our core mission should be to be doing what the very best that we can for our students and to educate them at a level that they're going to be successful when they leave us. And I think, you know, Lillian touched on this, that, you know, early childhood is important. Kindergarten readiness is important. We know statistically that if students are not reading on grade level by third grade, that the chances of catching them up are increasingly difficult. So we know those early formative years are important, but so are the later years. And we have to, education has to start to morph into pre-K or even, honestly, even birth through post-secondary. And, you know, Paul mentioned this, you know, every student's going to take a different path as they leave Emporia High School, whether it's technical college, community college, university, military, maybe they want to go directly to work. Whatever that may be, it's our job to make them college and career ready. And that's a key thing is, you know, what are their goals and what can we do to make sure that they are uniquely positioned to achieve those goals? And so I think a big part of that is meeting students where they are at. And I know, I mean, we ask so much more of teachers now than we did 20 years ago. It truly is unbelievable. And the work they do is so important. But we know that in a classroom of 20 students, every single one of those kids are going to learn differently. And every one of those kids are going to view the information differently. They're going to absorb it differently. Then they're going to need that information shared with them differently. So, you know, how do we help that student who wants to learn science through the hands-on work compared to the student that wants to dive into the textbook and absorb the information? And, you know, those are challenges, and they're real challenges for our teachers. And I think they do an amazing job, but I think we need to get back to focusing on those standards that are important and make sure that we're providing that information to our students in a way that they can absorb it and do the best they can with it.
Okay, 10:57 here on KVUE and KVUE.com. We're going to take our final break here on the KVUE Candidate Forum. This is, again, the first of two for the USD 253 Emporia Board of Education with Mike Crouch, Lillian Lingenfelter, and Paul Mikey joining us. That wraps up the questions that we do have through the KVUE Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line. We've got a couple more questions we got to squeeze in here before we wrap up the program here today. KVUE's Candidate Forum is brought to you today by Justice Painting, by Geotech, by Ray Roofing, and by ESB Financial.
I'm Karen Summers from ESB Financial. We're a proud sponsor of today's Candidate Forum. We believe that being part of the political process as an educated voter is one of the biggest responsibilities we take on as citizens of the city of Emporia, the state of Kansas, and of our great country. Voting in this election is vital as we deal with so many very important issues. Please take the time to determine the best candidate for you in each and every race. Then get out and exercise your right to vote. The future of our country depends on all of us.
This is Steve Brosmer with Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, with another edition of Did You Know? Did you know that if you are listening to this announcement, then I have missed my intended audience? That's because you will most likely vote in the upcoming general election. This year, the stakes have never been higher. So please encourage your friends and family to exercise their right to vote in this November's election. And see Geotech at 115 West 5th for all your land surveying needs.
Looking to get painting done but don't know who to call? Well, just call the folks at Justice Painting. They are your one-stop shop for all your painting needs. Offering professional painting services of interiors, exteriors, kitchen cabinets, drywall, and commercial work. With no job too tall or too small, just call Jerem for a free quote. That's Justice Painting, 620-757-2343.
Keeping your cool under extreme conditions is very important. The same goes for the roof over your head. Just ask your professional roofing contractor at Ray Roofing Incorporated. Reflective white TPO Carlisle roofing systems are proven to keep solar heat out of buildings and are energy efficient for high performance that's strikingly affordable. Now that's cool. Call 620-342-7576 and let the experts go to work for you. Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 E6 in Emporia.
KVOE's Candidate Forums. KVOE, live and local.
This is the final segment of KVOE's Candidate Forum involving Mike Crouch, incumbent for the USD 253 Emporia Board of Education, and challengers Lillian Lingenfelter and Paul Mikey. It is 10:59, right at now 11 o'clock here on KVOE and KVOE.com, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, and again, KVOE.com. We are looping over, but there are a couple of quick questions that we want to ask, and then we want to give our panel here a closing statement time. So, Paul, I get to ask you this first, and I believe I know what your answer is going to be. Do you believe there has been learning loss over the past 18 months here for USD 253? If so, where do you believe this originates and how can that be overcome?
Well, I think there's been significant learning loss. It's just inevitable. When
when we have to shift our ability to communicate and educate our kids remotely, and not learning face to face, not being able to field questions, teachers not being able to read the room and being able to decipher whether students are struggling. When we're not there, there's going to be a learning loss. I think that teachers, the ones that I've talked to over the last few months, they've said that, yeah, we're having to catch up, and it's a lot of it is emotional and social, along with the educational part. So there is learning loss. I think that we need to find a way to get ahead. A lot of school districts are probably trying to manage to bring things up little by little. But if we can be a leader, if our district can be at the forefront of finding a way to get our kids caught up and then ahead of the game, it gives us a competitive advantage in those test scores, in our educational system, it may just be something like thinking outside the box of bringing in more teachers, finding more budget money, applying for grants that will approve those things over the next 2 to 3 years to catch our kids up, to make our school or our classrooms and teacher ratios smaller, so they have the ability to read the kids one-on-one. And obviously, we have to be in school in order to reduce the amount of learning loss that we've had. And so, therefore, doing what we're doing now is important. And you know, there are things that our kids have to be willing to do, too. They have to be willing to do the work and get back up to speed for the time that we did lose. So.
Mike, what are your thoughts here? Have you seen learning loss over the past 18 months? If so, where has it originated, and how can it be overcome?
Well, I think without a doubt, we're seeing learning loss, and this is not unique to Emporia. This is happening in every school district across the country. But the only thing we have control over is what we're doing here, and so I think, you know, without a doubt, you know, when you have to go through what we've had to go through the last 18 months, and there's really, you know, there's not blame to put on anybody. We've all navigated and pivoted and worked through the situation as best that we can. Our teachers were asked to teach in environments that they were not trained to do, and they've never dreamed that they would have had to teach through. And they did the best that they could. But when we go through those situations, there's going to be loss, because we know the best place for our students is in the classroom with highly trained, highly skilled professionals that know how to meet them where they are at. And I think as we move forward, that's going to be some of the key, is we're going to have to figure out how to meet students where they're at. And not just with how they learn, but where are they at currently. Some students are going to be farther ahead than others. Some may have struggled more in the environment than others. And so, you know, diving into that and figuring out where each individual student's at and how do we meet their needs is going to be critical. And that's a lot of work. I'm not saying that it's not. It's a huge burden on our teachers and our administration and our staff. And so I think, you know, there's other things that we can look at that maybe we can help weave some things in. You know, we have an unbelievable Rec Extra program that operates after school in conjunction with the Rec Center, and we have a lot of Emporia State University students that work that most of them are education students that are future teachers. You know, are there things we can do to weave some educational components into that, as you know, and help maybe provide some extra time to help those students catch up? I think we're going to have to be creative. We're going to have to think outside the box, and we're going to have to look at ways that we can do that. And then we need to listen to our teachers. I mean, they're the ones that are with the students every day. They're the ones who see where they're at, know where they're at, and are the professionals that know and understand how we can address it. So we need them at the table, and we need to be talking collaboratively about how we can address the issue.
Okay. Lillian, what are your thoughts here? Do you believe there's been learning loss the last 18 months, and how can this be overcome? If you do see this, where do you think it's originating?
So I think that the education system was not built to deal with extended shutdowns or quarantines or things that we've had to go through this past year. Teachers, administrators, and parents have worked really hard to keep learning alive, but we know that those efforts just might not have been enough despite everything that we've done to our best effort. However, there are competing studies that try to explain what level of learning loss has or has not happened. For example, standardized tests, for better or worse, those are a common measure of student success and learning, and those weren't always administered with consistent fidelity over the past year. So I think that it's ill-informed to claim that we have not had learning loss, but it's also important to not discount the experiences that our students have had and the learning that has come out of the past 18 months. It's hard to kind of measure what learning loss has happened because everybody's kind of been in this same holding pattern. But in order to overcome this, I think first we need to prioritize keeping students in schools. We could adopt a trauma-informed approach to focusing on student mental health as a prerequisite, helping them overcome any potential lack in academic progress. We know that there is a direct link between mental health and academic performance, and I think that the stress and trauma of the past year cannot be overlooked when we consider academic progress. I want to echo what other candidates have said about having teachers do what they are professionally trained to do, which is meeting students where they are and adjusting their lessons and assignments accordingly. I think that if we trust our teachers and they will rise to the occasion and help our students be successful, pandemic or not.
I've got another question here, and then we're going to go to closing statements here. But we've had a lot of questions come in to either me directly or to folks here at the KVOE studios about this. Thoughts on political action committee support for local school board elections and whether you're receiving any PAC support. Mike, you're up to start this rotation.
Well, so I think this is an interesting question, Chuck, and I think, through experience, I've always said that I think it's important that when school board members choose to run for school board, that that their political agendas should not be a part of the decision making. That it needs to be about what's best for students and about what's best for all those involved in education. However, I also know that it is an elected office. It is part of our election system, and we are the greatest country in the world for a reason, and that's because of the systems that we have in place that allow people to share differing opinions, differing thoughts, have different political viewpoints, and support folks that maybe share their thoughts. So so I think that whether people agree or disagree with certain candidates, they should have the right to be able to share their thoughts and opinions on that. And then the election process needs to go forward, and the community needs to vote for folks that they believe will do the best work in the seat for Emporia Public Schools. And in terms of direct PAC support, I'm not receiving any.
Okay. Real quickly, and I should have asked this in the first half, thoughts on critical race theory, because that's also becoming at least an off-and-on topic here earlier this year.
Well, I'll go back to we need to teach kids how to think. It's not our job to necessarily share our own personal views with them. We need to share both sides of the discussion, both sides of the argument when it comes to helping them to understand the landscape that they will enter as adults. And then they need to have the skill set to make informed decisions. And so I think that's important, that as a district that we keep that in mind, that is our role. Our role is not to push our own personal thoughts and opinions onto our students. We need to engage our families. We need to listen to our families. We need to listen to our parents. And we need to bring them to the table and have them as a part of the process to make sure that we're achieving that.
Okay. Lillian, your status on PAC support and your thoughts on critical race theory and its role here in Emporia Education.
So I think that the question about PACs kind of depends. Like, are we talking about a smaller PAC funded by local community members with a shared interest? Are we talking about larger super PACs? Is the local board in question our own, or are we talking about larger school boards in other places? I do think that big money super PACs can artificially inflate competition in elections. I think it's important that in local races, community members have access to the campaigning process and that running a local campaign shouldn't break the bank. And my campaign has been funded by the generous support of local community members, not by PACs.
Okay. What about critical race theory, real quickly?
So as a social studies teacher, I can resoundingly say that that's not something that's taught in Kansas social studies classrooms in the K through 12 building. I think that it's important that we trust our teachers. Our social studies teachers are highly trained professionals understanding the standards that the state of Kansas sets forward for them, and critical race theory is not one of those things. And while questions of race may come up, for example, it's expected that I teach students about the Civil War, and in every school in Kansas, students are going to learn about the Civil War in eighth grade. Obviously, questions of race will come up then, but having a discussion about race in the context of the Civil War is not critical race theory. So I think it's imperative that we allow teachers to teach the standards that the state has set forth for us and understand that social studies teachers will do that with fidelity.
Paul, you get a chance to answer this question last, and then we'll get into our closing comments. Are you receiving any political action committee support and your stance here on critical race theory and its role here for Emporia?
Yeah, the PAC situation, I don't feel like in this kind of a political race, it's not a political race. School boards should not be political. It should be because kids, for the better part, they're not tuned into that. Political stuff tends to address a lot of other issues. This needs to be done for the best interest of our kids, and we need to keep our political stances really within our families and how it affects us, and that's how we move forward as individuals. So I am not receiving any PAC money, so for the CRT issue, I'm an advocate for people that are students are presented with all the options. Then they make their choice. They need to make informed decisions, and how they're informed is interesting. That goes back to the idea of actually something that we talked about in the Gazette questions that were there, that what it means to support the mission of our schools, our school district. We need to have buy-in from our community, from parents, from teachers, from students, and everyone. And the critical race theory, it should not be taught in schools. But that doesn't mean that we can't have these discussions and give our students, our kids, the future of our community, the opportunity to choose for themselves. And then that goes to outside line issues. But I think that the curriculum that is in place that's set down by the state is what should be taught, and that we can offer our thoughts, but our opinions probably need to be left in our back pocket.
Okay. Well, that wraps up the questions that we have aside from closing statements. And Lillian, I'll have you start with a closing statement here.
Thank you, Chuck. I want to thank everybody for allowing us to have the opportunity to participate in this. I think local elections and being informed voters are crucial to our community, and I'm thankful to have had the opportunity this morning to participate in this forum. In closing, though, I wanted to say that I'm an experienced award-winning educator with a background in education policy. I have a vision for the school district that focuses on high-quality teachers, graduation rates, and student success. I believe in the power of education and have dedicated my life to the service of public education and serving as an advocate for students. And while COVID appears to be the hot topic of this election, it's important that voters remember that this position is for 4 years. School board members are tasked with a variety of responsibilities, and a school board member should be adequately prepared to oversee the day-to-day and year-to-year functioning of the district outside of the pandemic. School board members should be forward-thinking and focus on enacting policies that would be positively affecting to all students. I'm solutions-oriented, data-driven. Public education and school boards are the greatest investment you can make in your child's future, and I look forward to earning your vote this November.
Thank you very much, Lillian. Appreciate it. Paul, your closing statement.
Sure. Thanks, Chuck. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today and to share thoughts and views with our community. And I encourage everyone to get out and vote. Today is the last day that you can register to vote for the November election, so please do that. I think that our district has its challenges. I think that our district has its very great attributes. And so we need to be, I'm willing to get out there and listen to teachers, to administrators, to parents, and find a way that we can all buy into this process together, that we do this as a team. This culture of unity is so important to me, that we all work together and face the tough issues that are in front of us, and that we learn to celebrate each other. When our students do well, we need to be there to champion them and set them up for their best future possible. So, again, I appreciate if you have the ability to line up with the ideas that I'm about, that you cast your vote. But thank you for listening, and just do be informed about all the candidates and what's important to you. It should be what's important. And so we appreciate the opportunity today. Thank you.
Great. Paul, thank you very much. And Mike, your closing statement.
Well, first, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate, appreciate KBOE for allowing us to have this platform to share our thoughts. And, you know, I want to say thank you to our community for trusting me to serve the community and the school district over the last 16 years. I take that role very seriously. And it's something that any board member should not take lightly, as it's a tremendous honor to serve this school district. Also, you know, I want to say thank you to Paul and Lillian, as well as our other three candidates, you know, Christina and Jen and Jamie, and just, you know, thank you for putting your names on the ballot. There are lots of folks that have shared thoughts with us over the last several years, and you folks have chosen to put your names out there to serve our district, and I think that's admirable, so I appreciate that. And, you know, I just want to say, and Lillian touched on this, and she's absolutely right, that COVID has brought school boards to the forefront over the last year and a half, but there's a tremendous amount of work that happens in our district outside of COVID, and I truly believe that as we move forward, some of the things that we're going to need to continue to address and work through are going to be challenging, and they're going to be critical to the future of education in Emporia, and experience is going to matter. We need experienced board members who can help to navigate us through that, help to build us for the future, and help to move us forward. And I think that that's certainly something that I bring to the table that is uniquely different than some of the other candidates. And I look forward to continuing to work with my fellow board members. You know, I think one of the great things about the process of a school board is that there are seven voices, and oftentimes there are seven different viewpoints and thoughts and ideas, but being able to respectfully come together, discuss that, and disagree at times, but disagree respectfully, and then move forward as a unified group to do what's best for the students of Emporia is critical. So I think that as a board, we have to continue to remember what's important. And the center of everything we do should be about students. We need to bring families back to the table. We need to bring teachers and staff back to the table. The only way that we are going to be the best that we can be is if we all work together. We hear differing viewpoints. We understand differing viewpoints. And we work together to come to a solution. So, again, I appreciate the honor that I've had to serve the district, and I would certainly appreciate your vote, as I think early voting maybe opens next week, and with the election on November 2nd. Thank you.
All right. Mike Crouch, thank you as well. And thank you to everybody, not only who listened here to the program today, but also submitted, whether it was calls or messages through the KVU Bluestem Farm and Ranch text line, questions for our candidates here today. Don't forget that Thursday, 10:06, we're back with our final KVUE candidate forum, Christina Faulkner, Jamie Reaver, and Jennifer Thomas, all also candidates for the USD 253 Board of Education, joining us on the KVUE Sutherland studio line. And again, your questions will be welcome at 620-342-5863, either by call or by text. That concludes the KVUE candidate forum here today. It's 11:20 on KVUE and KVUE.com. Our candidate forum today has been brought to you by Geotech, by ESB Financial, by Array Roofing, and by Justice Painting. From the 24-hour KVUE newsroom, I'm Chuck Samples.
Candidate Forums 2021, brought to you in part by ESB Financial, with locations in Emporia and Manhattan. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. Geotech, your land surveyors of the Emporia and Flint Hills area, 115 West 15th Avenue in Emporia. Justice Painting, no job too tall or too small. Call Justice Painting, 757-2343. And Ray Roofing Incorporated, roofing and sheet metal, 805 East 6th in Emporia. Candidate Forums 2021 on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, Emporia. All the information you need, live and local.